evening, and it sounds just like a song. I want more berries and that summer feeling. It's so wonderful and warm. Breathe me in, breathe me out. I don't know if I could ever go without. I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know if I could ever go without. Watermelon sugar high, watermelon sugar high, watermelon sugar high, watermelon sugar high.
Hi everybody, welcome to Defy and Hustle Radio. This is Noreen Ehrlich and welcome. Tonight, I have another great guest in the studio with me tonight because we are going to talk about something that represents another shift that's taking place in our culture, which is, I'm going to put it broadly, it's a shift in people's careers. And our guest tonight is John DeBenedictis. He's the director of undergraduate professional studies at Manhattanville College in Purchase, New York. And John, welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here, Noreen.
Thanks. And but John, you and I were talking at an event we both went to.
We were, absolutely. Just about a month ago, I believe.
Yeah, and I told you to come on because I do a lot of, it's not career coaching exactly, but I work with a lot of executives, and there's so much changing.
Sure.
Around career, especially as it affects people in, well, across the board, but definitely people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, who went into the workforce with an understanding of maybe you go in there and you go into a very traditional career. You know, my father said I could be a doctor, a lawyer, or an accountant, and so I became an accountant. But now you watch people who have had these very established careers, and now we're finding that they're shifting their careers.
It's true.
And so you run the appeals program.
Correct.
At Manhattanville College. So why don't you describe for people what the appeals program is?
Absolutely. APPEAL stands for Accelerated Professional Programs for Evening Adult Learners. Once upon a time, this would have been simply referred to as night school. These are accelerated degree program offerings for adult students who want to go back and finish their bachelor's degree. So typically, the population that we'll see in APPEAL would be a student who's perhaps, and they could be as young as their early 20s, and I have some that all the way up into their 60s, who's more likely than not started college at some point in time, and for whatever reason didn't finish. Life got in the way. Perhaps they left college because they were offered a lucrative job, which at the time seemed like the right thing to do, and they didn't have a desire to finish college, but something happened to lead them back into the classroom. Or perhaps they decided to start a family. In some cases, let's face it, they may have gone to college 18, 19 years old, and maybe they had a little bit too much fun.
Yeah, they couldn't handle it.
They were asked not to come back. And basically, what we offer with APPEAL is a chance for them to finish the degree. And there are several students in the APPEAL program who, as I mentioned a moment ago, have been to college at some point in time. Then there's some students who never set foot on a college campus, and they're taking their first ever college class in APPEAL. So what we do in an effort to keep the best interest of the adult student in mind is we accelerate everything. The traditional semester format at most colleges across the country would be a 14-week semester. They'll go from late August to December or mid-January to May. With a program like APPEAL, we operate in 7-week accelerated modules. So what we do is we take the 14-week semester and we condense it. We make it very aggressive, very intense, but the adult students like that. Each class will meet one night a week for just over 4 hours. And in addition, there's an online component to each of the classes. So after the class ends, usually around 9:45 p.m., everyone's incredibly tired, Between the ending of that class and the next meeting of the class, there's online instruction and interaction between the instructor and the students that occurs in an online platform so that students can do the work, the additional work, at their own pace, their own convenience. And that helps supplement the learning, helps add on to everything that they learn in the classroom for 4 hours one night a week.
Okay, so the students that go there, and I want to find out about generally who this mix of students are that
of course
are going to the appeals program. Again, the appeals program is accelerated...
accelerated professional programs for evening adult learners.
Okay. Okay, so these are people who are going over to the college, Manhattanville College in Purchase. Are they taking a lot of one class? Or are they taking a variety of classes? I guess it depends on what they want.
You know, the beauty of the program, Noreen, is that we put the student in the driver's seat. Every adult student is going to want to go at a different pace. There are some to whom the whole idea is just get it done as quickly as possible, and they'll take 3 classes, sometimes even 4 classes per accelerated module. I caution a lot of students against that, particularly if they're new to the program, because there's always the risk of the burnout factor, especially if you're working 40-plus hours a week, you're raising a family. 4 accelerated classes in 1 module is a lot to handle.
A 7-week module.
7-week module. It's a whole lot of work. And then there's some students who choose to go along at a slower pace. I have one student who started with us about a year and a half ago. She's in her early 60s, has a very good job at a very well-known local corporation, and had never completed a single college course in her life. And when she came into my office to meet with me for the first time, she said, my husband and I just put our son through college, and now it's my turn. And she takes about 1 course a module, but then sometimes she'll take a module or two off if she has a lot going on at work. And like I said, she's in her early 60s. At the rate she's going now, she probably won't finish till she's 75. But for her, it might not even be about earning the bachelor's degree. For her, it's about keeping her mind refreshed. It's about learning a new skill set. It's just the icing on the cake for her, really, after a long, successful career where she's been working. But for other students, it's a different story. I have 22, 23-year-old students in the program who want to get it done. They want to get out into the workforce. I have some who are in their 30s, some who are in their 40s. We have veterans in the program, people who have served in the recent Gulf War, the Iraq War, and they're using hard-earned, well-earned VA benefits to go back to school. Because the post 9/11 GI Bill, which was implemented in, I believe it was 2008, unlike previous GI Bills, the Montgomery GI Bill was the one that everyone was familiar with, but the post 9/11 GI Bill offers, in most cases, full tuition remission for veterans who want to go to a private institution such as Manhattanville College. And an additional benefit is they receive an allowance, if you will, a stipend, and that's based on the zip code of the school. So as you know, zip code of Purchase, New York, you're going to get a much higher stipend and allowance than you would at other places.
That's why they're choosing it, because they want to go to
the stipend. That's one of the reasons, but I think the main reason is the accelerated format, and this is another reason why it's quite popular with veterans too. They will receive that stipend provided that they're continuously enrolled in courses. So a program such as Appeal goes year-round. At most, students would get maybe a 3 or 4 week break in the summer, as opposed to a traditional college setting where a student wraps up in mid-May and they don't go back till right around Labor Day. So for a veteran to continuously be taking courses throughout the year means they're continuously earning that stipend, the allowance. And I think that makes a huge difference. And they want to get it done.
Who are the people who are going back to school? Because I know when some of the people that I coach are women, as you described with this other woman, their kids have gone off to university now, mm-hmm. and they're coming back to start careers. You're talking about people who are in corporations that are
Absolutely.
Going to school. Why are people going back to school as adults now, which my understanding is the majority of people are going back to school to finish degrees are adults, meaning 25 and older.
Sure.
Who are they, and why are they going back?
You have people from all walks of life, and I think everyone has a different reason for going back to school. You mentioned housewives, people who raise children, who I mentioned a few moments ago, a woman who helped put her son through college, and she just felt like it was time for her. We have people who are transitioning careers, people who have had very good careers, but for whatever reason, they never had a chance to earn that bachelor's degree, and now seemed like the right time for them to do it. Let's face it, it's job security, having a bachelor's degree. And then we also have master's degrees through the School of Professional Studies at Manhattanville College. So we have a lot of people, a diverse group of people, in our various master's degrees. Again, everyone has a different reason for going back to school. And it could be the economy. It could be wanting to make a career shift. It could be a little bit of anything.
They earn. I read that people who go back to school and earn a master's degree earn 32% more.
This is true.
Than they do if they just have a bachelor's degree. So just to get the bachelor's degree out of the way, because that's the minimum you have to have.
Exactly.
To barely earn anything in some parts of the economy, you have to go on and earn a master's
degree.
You're
absolutely right. And we see a lot of that at School of Professional Studies at Manhattanville College. When I meet with prospective students for the appeal program who want to earn a bachelor's degree, 9 out of 10 times they express an interest in moving on after that and earning a master's degree. So we have what we call dual degree options, mm-hmm. which a lot of schools do now, which will allow students to start taking graduate level courses as an undergrad. And they'll pay the undergraduate tuition rate. But by the time they graduate with the bachelor's degree, the idea is they already have 9 or sometimes even 12 credits of master's, of graduate level work, rather, to put toward the master's. And that's big.
So one of the things I wanted to understand is, okay, so some people don't go to school in their 20s, in part because
Correct.
They don't... They're still growing up, and they don't know what direction to
sure.
go in, or they start and they stop. They may go to a community college for a while,
of
whatever
course.
The story is. And then money, paying for school right up front and going away and staying in a dorm is not practical for everybody. And a lot
it's
of
not.
People are finding they've got these huge student loans and they don't have a good job. So
Absolutely.
How does something like this help people who don't want to go away to school and stay in a dorm and pay a fortune and then potentially come out of school and not have a lucrative position to take,
well,
or any position?
It helps them in the sense that, for starters, all the courses are in the evening. So typically the class start time for an undergrad course in appeal is 5:40 p.m.
Uh-huh.
So we do that because we keep in mind the fact that the working adult is putting in 40-plus hours a week, and our students, we have some who are working in Manhattan, we have some who are working right here in Greenwich, Points North, Stamford. By the time they get out of the office, by the time they get in their car, sit in the traffic going both ways, because, you know, traffic's always a little crazy around here, the 5:40 start time works well for them. So it's all about convenience for the adult student, and I think that's one of the big things. And I think it's the affordability factor, too. You know, a program like Appeal, we have an automatic discount built into the tuition. So our students pay a per credit rate, which is typically less than what full-time students would pay at most private institutions in the area. And we do that because we feel that it's really in keeping with the mission of the college, and it's our way of sort of giving something back. There's all this press these days about how expensive college is in the United States, and it is. But I think for an adult student pursuing a bachelor's degree, there are ways that they can go about making it somewhat more affordable. You mentioned a moment ago starting at the community college, which I would pretty much advise anyone do if possible. We are blessed where we are. If you look at the community colleges in this immediate area, you have Westchester Community College, not too far down the road, and we do a lot of outreach there, and they have several campuses. The main campus in Valhalla is huge, and they have outstanding programs. And then we do a lot of outreach to Norwalk Community College, where I actually attended fresh out of high school for a year. And colleges like Manhattanville, and in particular the Appeal Program, we have what we call articulation agreements, which basically guarantees a seamless transfer of credits for students who complete courses at the community college. So if you're an associate's degree at Westchester Community College, we will waive what we call our core requirements, our competency requirements, so that the student jumps right into courses that are aligned with the major. They jump right into the courses for the degree. Those are the courses they want to take. So this gets back to what I said a moment ago about making it more convenient, I think. But it's also a cost savings, because the in-state tuition cost at the community colleges are a fraction of what it costs at the four-year schools, both public and private. So I would advise any student who's considering going back to school to really consider taking some classes at the community college. It's really a good way to go.
Get your associate's degree at the community college and then transfer over.
I would suggest it. There are some who find the community colleges to be, that the classes are too large. And I think for some students, that can be a drawback. We're talking some classes could have 30, 40 students in them, particularly if you're in any sort of lecture hall. You come to a program like Appeal, the largest class you would see would be 12 students, and that's one of the things they like. They like that individualized attention. But still, I would advise anyone who's unsure of what they want to do, start with the community college and then look for a degree completion program.
What are the courses what are some examples of the courses you offer, or the degrees you offer?
Sure. So there are three different degrees in Appeal, each of which operates in the accelerated 7-week format. There's the Bachelor's in Business Management, which is really your classic business management degree, and that's going to incorporate management courses, finance courses, accounting, marketing, economics, as well as your core curriculum and several electives. We have the Bachelor's in Organizational Management, which has a lot of similarities to the Bachelor's in Business Management, but it's more laser-focused on human resources, which these days is incredibly popular for students seeking
degrees. It was one of the top jobs that companies are offering now. All the rest of them were artificial intelligence and computer-related or STEM-related, but because all the corporations are looking for people to deal with either their clients or to deal with their organizations and keep all the people that they have in various locations organized, people with human resource degrees are sought after still.
Absolutely. It's huge these days. And finally, our third degree is behavioral studies, which is more for people who ultimately want to pursue a career as an educator, social worker, psychologist. They know early on that they'll definitely need to go on to get some sort of certification if they want to teach or go on for a master's in social work, but this really sets them up quite well for something like that. One of the things I like about Appeal is that there's a generous transfer credit policy, but we also build in for the students opportunity to take a lot of general elective credits. And one of the things I've tried to do since taking over the programs 2.5 years ago is to ensure that the general electives that the students are taking are not just throwaway. Everyone laughs when they think about some of the electives that they took in college. And, you know, everyone jokes about basket weaving or an acting class, and they never had any desire to act or something like that.
Really?
And they
figured, I think that's great.
I do too, but some people, I think, just look at this as an easy A, and ultimately 5, 10, 20 years down the road, they're doing nothing with it. What I've tried to do is offer courses in Appeal as general electives that are contemporary, they're relevant, that students will get something out of, so that they're not just throwaway, they're not just free electives to pass the time. So in recent modules, we've offered courses such as ethics and sport, public relations and American culture, politics of the Middle East. We did a seminar in Buddhism. We had a class about a year ago called Introduction to Wellness. Personal finance, and this is just to name a few. This summer, actually, we're going to offer during one of our modules industrial and organizational psychology, which you touched upon human resources before. So I think the timing's perfect.
I like those classes. I think those are
come take
more
a class.
On target.
We're right
than
down the road.
To me, some of the coming out of a school, sorry for everybody who's come out of school with a basic business degree, but it's when you come out of school with a basic business degree, you still have to get out there and specialize in something.
Exactly.
So it's like it is the basic business degree, but I like some of those topics. So So I sign up for one or two classes or four classes. It runs in 7-week modules. It starts at different times during the year.
It does.
So if I miss the first module, I can start with the second module.
Correct.
I accelerate the bachelor's degree. Who's teaching these classes? I get onto the campus. I'm there at 5:40. And who's teaching my course?
The majority of the appeal classes, and I would say nearly every single one of the classes for the master's programs at School of Professional Studies at Manhattanville are staffed by adjunct instructors. These are people who work in the area or have previously worked in the area for major corporations, and really they're experts in their field. So, you know, a snapshot of who we have working for School of Professional Studies teaching our classes would be people who have worked for PepsiCo, Verizon, Pitney Bowes, L'Oreal, IBM, J.P. Morgan, Clairol, Xerox, Glamour Magazine. Our students like this because after working 8-9 hours a day, then they go into a classroom at night. They like the fact that the classes are smaller, there's a lot of interaction, but that they have someone who's leading the interaction who can parlay real industry experience into the classroom, and we think that makes the world of a difference.
It must be very fulfilling for the professional, too.
It is.
Because you learn so much, and then you're getting to mentor some other students.
Absolutely. They're giving something back, too. And it's really, we have a wonderful group of adjuncts. We're truly blessed in that regard.
Yeah, and they can really tell you what's going on in the workforce.
For sure.
Because you go to school sometimes, you get into the workforce, and it's a completely different world.
Exactly.
And then you really have to figure out how to, hustle on your feet. So you can come out of school with a degree, but you really have to. To me, whether you're going to make it or not is a little bit of luck, and it's a lot of figuring things out on your own and hustling. So I'm taking a course, for example. Can I get an accounting degree there?
We do not have accounting in the accelerated format, but what we do have within the bachelor's in business management, the accelerated program, students have to declare a 12-credit concentration. Almost like a minor.
Right.
Accounting is one option. They can declare accounting, marketing, international business, and human resources, and finance as well. So that would be the closest we would have to an accounting degree. Manhattanville College does offer a bachelor's in accounting, but not in the accelerated format.
All right. So the accelerated format, I liked all those as minors because they're all applicable to the society we live in now, whether it's finance, accounting, international. So you get in there and you're working all day or you're with your family all day and you go to take a class. Is the homework the same as it would be for your undergraduate students who are going to school during the day, or is it easier? Is it simpler?
It depends how you define simpler.
Okay.
I think so much of it comes down to who the instructor is and what the course is, and how the instructor chooses to structure their course. You know, we have some instructors in appeal who don't use a textbook. They would rather just have the students read a series of news articles posted online. That way it's a little more up-to-date, even more contemporary than getting the latest published textbook for a marketing class. Again, it really is going to come down to how they structure the course, how much homework the instructor chooses to give. It can vary. And I usually hear it from the students if it's a lot of homework.
They'll
reach out to me and they'll say, look, this is a wonderful instructor. I like the class, but I work 45 hours a week and I spent half my weekend doing the work. And then there's some who say the homework amount is just right. I try to encourage appeal instructors to really do a lot of work in class, a lot of group work, a lot of presentations. I think that's important. What's the old fact, the figure that people say that adults fear death more than public speaking more than death, and that's a scary thought. So to combat that, I tell the appeal instructors, incorporate as much in the way of presentations as you can. Make these students comfortable with getting up and speaking in front of an audience, albeit a small one. I taught a class in the fall for appeal, which was a one-credit seminar, basically for adult students transitioning back into the classroom after a long absence. And they really had two major projects that they had to do for this one-credit seminar. One was to do an 8 to 10 page research paper using the proper citation sources, and two, make a 5-minute presentation up in front of the class. Some of them were a little uneasy doing it, but once they were finished with it, they were grateful. And it was the right thing to do, because then they're able to move on to their other classes, which will be 3-credit classes and a little bit more intense, and they can be a little more comfortable, I think, getting up in front of a group.
100%. 100% people have to learn to speak.
Absolutely.
Up. Not just speak, but also speak up. I think a lot of people are uncomfortable speaking, and in when they get out into the corporate atmosphere, they are not comfortable expressing their ideas, so they just sit in the meetings, and they sit there, and they look like that they're involved, but they don't really express, and they have so much information that they want to add, but they just don't know how, they're just not comfortable speaking up, and it's something that you really have to learn to do, I think, if you want to, I'm sure, if you want to get ahead. So why are you so passionate about this? I did do some homework on your background, and you worked at Sacred Heart University, and I saw that you did teach some public speaking course. I don't know if it was courses, but you gave some public speaking seminars.
I taught for a few semesters non-credit effective communication courses for the English Language Institute at Sacred Heart University. This is going back a few years ago. So these would be basically their ESL program, English as a Second Language. And my classes largely consisted of students to whom English was not their first language, and their English skills were good in basic conversation. But when it came to getting up and presenting, or having to craft an articulate email even, or build a resume in English, that's where they struggled. So my goal with that course was to, once again, make them more comfortable with something like that. So yes, there was a lot of public speaking in those courses.
But what in your life made this something that was of interest to you, or that you felt strongly you had to go out and help people with?
I think it was really just a perfect storm of different events and different things throughout my life. Those who have known me for a long time will tell you that I was a terrible, terrible student in high school. It's a miracle that I finished. And
Is it really?
I'm being a little dramatic there. But I think, you know, I went to public school up in Fairfield, and it was a wonderful, wonderful experience, but it was huge. And it was daunting. And I think that coming out of high school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do next. I don't think a lot of 18-year-olds do.
No.
And I found myself, as I mentioned earlier, at Norwalk Community College for a year before I ultimately ended up at Sacred Heart University, where I would get my bachelor's and later my master's. When I started working at Sacred Heart in admissions, it was my first job in admissions that I had done, and my specialty was working with the adult student. What I truly admired was the diversity in the students and their backgrounds and what led them to pursue a degree at a different place in life, and that they didn't take the traditional route to college degree completion. And when I was in high school, I don't think it was ever really presented to me that you can go a different route, that there's nothing wrong with going to the community college, or there's nothing wrong with working full-time and taking classes at night.
I think you're told the opposite when you and I are around the same age. You were told that you're a loser if you went to the community college.
Pretty much.
Right? And then
I always say, growing up in Fairfield, it's not a whole lot different than where we are right now in Greenwich, it was never, when you were senior in high school, it was never a question of, are you going to college or not? It's, where are you going to college?
Right.
Where did you get accepted?
Right.
I did not know of anyone my graduating year of high school who went into the service. I did not know of anyone who went to sort of a vocational school or a trade school. Everyone was going to four-year colleges. But the problem was, they were all excited telling about how they got accepted to these four-year colleges. But if you were to really look at the facts and figures and see how many of them finished at the schools in which they started, I don't think it was a huge amount. So I think, getting back to your question, I became very intrigued with the fact that there are alternate ways of degree completion for adults, and that the traditional four-year college experience is not for everyone. And furthermore, I think it's becoming less and less popular these days for a variety of reasons.
To go to school, for your school.
Absolutely.
Right out of out of high school?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think I would never say that those days are gone, but I think that you will always have a group of students who will graduate high school, 18 years old, take the summer working at the beach or whatever they're doing, putting their money away, then they pack their bags and they drive up to Boston, or they go to stores, they go to University of Connecticut or the Midwest down south, and they go to college for 4 years and they immerse themselves in campus life. But I think you're seeing an increasing number of students who are enrolling in colleges in the area, getting jobs, working 40-plus hours a week. They could be working at retail establishments. They could be starting off as tellers at banks, working for local hospitals, medical organizations, healthcare organizations. Because here's another thing. A lot of these types of places, banks, some of the major retail chains, definitely hospitals, they offer tuition reimbursement. Mm-hmm. So people are wising up to this. They could be 19 or 20 years old, and they might be working at Greenwich Hospital, or they might be working at a local branch of a local bank. And while it won't be a huge amount of money to send them back to school, it's something. So what they're doing is they're starting their careers right around the time they're starting college. Mm-hmm. And the idea is by the time they finish their bachelor's degree, and maybe it takes them a little bit longer, maybe they don't earn their bachelor's degree at 22, maybe they earn it at 25 or 27 or even 30 or so, by the time they do that, they already have built an impressive resume.
Plus you've emotionally matured.
Absolutely.
A bit, so that when you hit the workforce in a more using your degree, you're ready to, you know, you want to be there, versus having been told by your parents you have to go off to school.
Correct.
And whatever happened, and then you get out into the workforce and you never fully adapted. Right. To being a professional or an adult or something like that.
Exactly.
So I'll say I went to school, I went in and out of school, worked full-time. I still can't keep my mind in one single place, but ultimately...
Join the club.
Yeah, it's like if you tell me to narrow something down, I can't do it. You could ask the people who work in my business helping me with marketing. It's like, I like too many things. But I ended up going to school for accounting, and when I really got out, I was 27, but boy, when I got into the workforce, I was at a different place. I just was determined to get going and prove myself. And I don't know how or why, but it took off for me. I mean, I went into accounting at a local firm while I went and got my master's degree. Then I ended up at Ernst & Young somehow, and then I ended up on Wall Street somehow. And then it took me all over the globe, which was what I was fortunate to have that, but I was so scared if I just chose one thing and stuck with that I would lose out on all these other opportunities. And the irony is I finally chose the accounting degree, got there, put it out into the workforce, and then life turned around and said, all right, she passed the test, she went into accounting, she did the work, and then it lets you go out and do everything else you want to do.
But it does.
I did go get out of school later, and it actually worked better for me than if I had gone directly off to school, because I would have been, probably still would have been, like, unsure of what to do and gotten lost.
Of course, but if you can balance the two, working and going to school, then I think it really puts you in a great position, because then when you do finally earn the bachelor's and then subsequently earn the master's degree, you have the degree, and that's huge, and that's going to open a lot of doors, but you've built an impressive resume, or these days an impressive LinkedIn profile, which outlines everything, and it makes you very attractive to a variety of different people, potential employers or employees, people that might work for you at some point.
So what are the obstacles people face? These adults come in, they come.
Sure.
Take the class, they sign up, and do most of them try to finish, or do they lose interest right away, or what's going on with adults?
'Cause with appeal, most of them finish.
Most of them finish. Finish the 7 weeks?
Finish the entire degree.
Okay,
in appeal.
Good.
I think one of the draws, as I mentioned earlier, is that it's a small program. Mm-hmm. So they get a significant amount of individualized attention, both from me serving as their sort of go-to for advising, but also the instructors who they get to know. And we have an outstanding Center for Career Development on campus, which really helps them in resume building, interviewing skills, and ultimately job hunting. in general, at schools that offer evening programs or adult programs, it can be a mixed bag. There are a lot of obstacles that the adult student will face, one being price, obviously. Mm-hmm. And
how much is it?
How much is it for where
generally,
we are?
Generally speaking, if I were to sign up for a seven-week course in your program, how much
So it's $685 per credit.
Okay.
The majority of the classes for the degrees are three-credit courses.
Okay.
So when all's said and done, you're looking – my math skills were never that great.
Seven times three is $2,100.
Right. So you're looking at over $2,000 per class. And there's, of course, financial aid available. And it's more expensive at some other local institutions, and it'll be less expensive at some others as well. I think we're...
Sounds like you're right on the market.
Right in the market, absolutely. Okay. But cost can be an issue. Fortunately, small school like Manhattanville and a small program like Appeal, I mentioned earlier the individualized attention, they're really going to get good response from the Office of Financial Assistance, who's really going to work with them, secure the loan and the payment options and so on and so on. I think another huge obstacle they face is everything we've discussed with the career. We've all had those days at work where you're working 8, 9, maybe longer hours a day, and the day finally ends and you want nothing more than to just go home, kick off your shoes, relax, and unwind. The idea of having to leave work and then go to class and sit in the classroom for 4 hours can be daunting. So there is a burnout factor. I think a lot of adult students going back to school, they really struggle to stay motivated. It's one thing to start. It's another thing to actually carry through with it and follow through with it and finish. So that's an obstacle. And then, of course, raising a family, as so many adults are doing, it's tough when they might have to have a class on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night, but then their son or their daughter has a chorus concert or a ballet recital, and then they miss the class. So when you're in a role such as mine and the instructors who teach for Appeal, we're understanding, we're mindful of that. And I always tell the instructors, keep in mind that these are people who have very busy lives outside of here.
So, but at least if you're missing something and go see your child's concert, at least your child's going to really admire, I would think, really admire that you're taking the initiative to go make something of yourself. Because if you don't invest some money and some time and have the ability to make it through some of those tough periods, even when you're tired, this is the way you expand. And life doesn't let just anybody get to the next level. You really have to pay to play. You have to go out there and go take the course and pay the money and do a good job and apply yourself. Then it lets you up to the next level. So I think it's something that people around you who love you really would be inspired by. Oh, how about so that they take the course, they get the degree. How is Manhattanville helping them to get a job?
I mentioned before our Center for Career Development, which works really well with all the Manhattanville College students in terms of resume building, interviewing skills. They host a career fair on campus every year. They help the students with networking. But also, too, I mentioned earlier where a lot of our adjunct instructors were employed or are currently employed. So there's a lot of networking that goes on automatically.
Right.
And I think that is tremendously important. And Manhattanville in general has a huge alumni network. If you look at it, this is a school that's been around since the 1840s. And the older the school, the bigger the alumni network's going to be in most cases. So I think that makes a big, big difference. But we are constantly working with the students to help point them in the right direction in terms of their career, not simply with the Appeal program, but for all the programs at Manhattanville, and particularly with the School of Professional Studies.
I heard it's a beautiful campus.
Oh, it is.
That's nice. And that's why when I went to school, I, in part, chose because the campus was beautiful and it looked safe. As a woman who was going sometimes in the evenings, as a young woman, of course, but I wanted to make sure that the campus was really safe, but for some reason I also like the fact that it was so beautiful. So one more thing before we go on, because I know you're having an open house, but you talked about something, so that people go to the class one evening a week, and then there's an online coaching?
There's an online component to all of the classes in Appeal. And this is something relatively new. I transitioned the Appeal classes to incorporate what we call a hybrid formula, which means that the majority of the instruction in classroom interaction is done in class that one night a week, but that there's additional instruction, learning, interaction done using a software called Blackboard. And Blackboard is very popular software used by most colleges and universities nationwide. And a lot of what's done is quite simply a message forum. If you think back to the old days of online, people used to go into chat rooms. Mm-hmm. It's almost like that sometimes. The instructor will post something to Blackboard 2 hours after class ends, or the next morning after the class ended, and say, please read chapters 3 through 7 by Friday evening, and answer the following questions in the message board. All right, so there's nothing out of the ordinary there. But what the instructor might also do is he or she might say to them, in addition to answering those questions, I want you to comment on your classmates' answers to those questions.
Ooh.
And please at least comment on 2 or 3 other classmates. So what this does is let's say the class meets on a Tuesday evening. Between the Tuesday evening at 9:45 that it ends and 5:40 when it starts the following Tuesday, the students and the instructor stay in contact. They stay motivated. They stay communicating regarding all things pertaining to the class. And I think that's important. And that's how we incorporate online learning.
Yeah, I think you have to now because people get distracted very easily.
They do.
You could be in class and you could be very motivated at the time, but there's so many things calling for your attention, especially as an adult. So if you don't have somebody who's reaching out to them during the week and saying, hey, what's going on? Are you doing your work?
Absolutely.
To keep people motivated. So we wanted to talk about an open house that you're doing at Manhattanville.
Yes.
On April 1st?
April 1st. That is not an April Fool's joke. It is our spring open house, and it's always a great event. I like the spring open house. That's probably one of my favorites. I think, let's face it, right now we're still in winter mode, but we're starting to get cabin fever a little bit. So late March, early April rolls around, and you hope that the weather's going to be nice. Who knows? People want to get out. They want to do something. And I think a lot of people get in a spring mindset where they're very energized.
Mm-hmm.
They want to try something new. And I think the timing's perfect for this open house. So what we do from 6:30 to about 8:30 p.m. on April 1st is it's a showcase for all of the programs at the School of Professional Studies at Manhattanville College. We've spoken a lot tonight about Appeal. So those are the programs that I manage. But we're also going to have all of our master's programs represented. So we have a master's in business leadership, master's in finance, master's in human resources management, master's in marketing communication management, and finally our master's in sport business and entertainment management. So what you see at the open house will be all of the program managers, program directors, such as myself, my colleagues, our associate dean, other folks from the campus in general. Some of our adjunct instructors will be there, current students, alumni, and of course prospective students. So this is a great opportunity if somebody's interested in learning more about the programs that we have to come to campus, see the beautiful campus, get to know each and every one of us, talk to the instructors and talk to the students. I can talk until I'm blue in the face about how wonderful the programs mm-hmm. are. But until you hear it from the mouth of one of the current students or one of the alums, it's a different story.
And if somebody wants to go to the open house,
quite simple. Go to the website. Well, they could just show up. We typically like them to register ahead of time.
Okay.
It helps us with the headcount.
Yeah.
But my recommendation would be go to the website, and that's mvil.edu/SPS. And right when you go there, you're going to see a big link for the open house. And you click on that, and you can register. It'll ask for some basic information. One of the nice things, too, is if you attend the open house, we waive your application fee for any of the programs for which you're applying. And that's a $75 value right there.
What would you say to people who are thinking about whether they should go back to school or how they should get on with their lives or their careers, or they're considering going in a slightly different direction? What would you say to them to encourage them to start to take action?
Don't wait. I would tell them to get motivated and to strike while the iron's hot. If suddenly they get that inspiration to go back to school, stick with it. Because, you know, sometimes we all get motivated to do something, and then we never actually get around to doing it, and then 2 weeks later we've moved on to something else.
Right.
I would say just go for it and do not wait. One of the benefits of a program like APEAL or any of the aforementioned programs with School of Professional Studies, you're never far off from another term starting. Back to school means something very different for an adult student than it does for a young student, be it an elementary school student or somebody who's going back to college. You remember what it was like. I remember what it was like. Sometime in early to mid-August, you kind of got that feeling that summer was coming to an end. And you went and you bought your notebook and you did your back-to-school shopping, and then right after Labor Day, once upon a time, you were back in school. Now it's before Labor Day. With adult students, it's different. So that's the beauty of it. You might get the inspiration this winter or early spring to go back to school. You're never far off. You're never a few weeks off from another term starting. And any adult program, particularly the ones with School of Professional Studies in Manhattanville, we keep the application process somewhat simple so that the adult student can not have to deal with the anxiety of having to apply to college and can just get in there and get to work. The application process for college for an 18-year-old or for a graduating high school senior can be daunting. The SATs, the ACTs, interviews, having to do a weekend here, weekend there. With all of our programs, it really just comes down to you complete the application, you get us a resume, transcripts from any institutions you might have attended previously. We ask for a couple of letters of recommendation, and that can be from anyone. That could be from an employer, a former instructor, whomever. And that's it. And we'll work with you. Our admissions people are fantastic, and they'll get you into class and ready to go.
Oh, do you turn other people? Do you turn anybody away?
If we feel that it's not a good fit,
right,
then we might suggest certain remedial measures. Perhaps they should go to the community college for a semester or two. But for the most part, and I'm speaking right now for APEAL, and I'd be willing to bet that my colleagues who run the master's programs would say the same thing. If they have the credentials, in other words, if you're seeking a bachelor's degree, you need to have completed high school or the equivalent. And if you're seeking a master's degree,
you have to have a bachelor's degree.
You have to have a bachelor's degree, correct. If we see in someone a genuine want and desire to do it, then we're going to work with you. And we're going
to figure it out.
Right? We'll figure out a way. Absolutely.
I like the master's degrees because you have business leadership, finance, human resource management, marketing, which everything's marketing nowadays.
For sure.
You could be the best at your career. If you don't know how to market yourself, these people who do know how to market, and they may not be better than you, are going to start to get all the business. And then this last one must be popular, MS in Sports Business and Entertainment Management.
Very popular.
Why do you think that one was added in there? Because you don't normally see that.
You don't normally see that, but I think if you look at where we are in terms of our geographical location, I mean, first off, there's so many major sport franchises in New York City and the greater New York City area. But then you have NBC Sports up in Stamford. WWE is in Stamford. You have the XFL, who's owned by WWE, I believe. They're now in Stamford as well. ESPN is upstate Connecticut, central Connecticut. U.S. Tennis Association is right around the corner from us in Purchase. So there's so many different avenues for which someone who wants to pursue a career in athletics can go. If they pursue one of the masters in sport business management at Manhattanville, and interestingly enough, we do a career fair. My colleague Dave Taromeo, who runs the Masters in Sport Business program, he did a career fair. This was in November for athletics, and pretty much every organization that I just mentioned was there. From the XFL, there were people from the Brooklyn Nets. We had a phenomenal turnout. There were some minor league ball teams as well, recruiting our students to go work for them. And incidentally, Dave is co-host of The Clubhouse, which is the show that follows your show every Wednesday night, except they're off this Wednesday for whatever reason. But 7 p.m. every Wednesday night on WGCH, and they broadcast from the Grand Prix up in Mount Kisco,
right,
which I've sat in on some of their broadcasts, and it's a whole lot of fun. And actually, Dave wanted me to be sure to tell everyone that next week they have a very special guest, and that's Mike Ruzioni, who you'll probably recall was the captain of the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. We talk about the miracle on ice.
The guys are shaking their head, yes.
We're all pretty excited.
I don't recall it, sorry.
Well, that was the very famous miracle on ice, the 1980 Olympics. And if you can imagine, the 40th anniversary, I think, just passed that. So Ruzioni was the captain, and he's the special guest next Wednesday on the Clubhouse. So.
Very cool.
And that's an example of the network that the programs have, and someone like Dave has built by not simply running these programs, but also being the co-host of the weekly radio show and then having these guests. And it's all about networking.
It's all about networking.
For sure.
At the end of the day, it's all about networking. All right, so for the people who are thinking about going back to school, but they're like, that's going to take a lot of money and a lot of time, and I'm not sure that that's a good return on my investment. How much time do you think, generally, it's an accelerated program, how much time are they generally saving? Is there any way to quantify that?
It's difficult to say because it comes down to a number of different factors. It comes down to how many credits they might be transferring in if they're pursuing an accelerated undergraduate degree. It comes down to how aggressively they choose to pursue the degree. I've had students come in to appeal with close to 90 credits. 90 is the maximum number of credits that they can transfer in from other institutions.
Okay. And how many credits do you need to get a bachelor's?
120.
100? Oh, that's not... Okay, 120.
And they were able to do it in and out of a year.
All right. So if you're thinking about going back to school and you're like, oh my God, that's going to take me another blank years to go and get one of these degrees, especially in the master's program, because I think a lot of people in the Connecticut area that we live in have a bachelor's degree too.
Correct.
This is a phenomenal way to really start to specialize.
It is. And of course,
separate yourself and earn more because the master's degrees are 32%. We got 1 minute to go. So answer that question.
Master's degrees are always a lot shorter than a bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
Your average master's degree, I believe, is about 33 credits, anywhere between 30 and 36 credits usually. So student can earn a master's much quickly. And I think one thing we might want to touch upon is certificate programs, graduate-level certificate programs, which I think are, in some ways, the best way to get exposed to a master's degree. What it is it's a 12-credit, four-course certificate at the graduate level, which is a good little resume builder. But those 12 credits can also be rolled into the full master's degree.
Okay, so there are different topics that are out there now that people are interested in, they may be able to get a certificate in.
Correct, and for all of our master's degrees, we have certificate programs.
John, we're talking with John DeBenedictis from Manhattanville College, Adele Programming. So please check out the April 1st open house and go back to school. Finish your bachelor's degree or go get a master's degree. It's not too late. They're working with you to accelerate the program and go out there and make something of yourself. So this is Noreen Ehrlich signing off from Define Hustle Radio. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Noreen.
All right. Take care, everybody. Go out and make something of yourselves.
That was an hour.
AM 1490 and FM 105.5 WGCH Greenwich.
The facility is widely known in the Milwaukee area as Miller Valley. I'm Barbara Cusack. Amid the worldwide spread of coronavirus, President Trump addressed the issue this evening, saying through good decisions by his administration, the borders were closed to flights from areas hit by the virus early on.
We're ready to adapt and we're ready to do whatever we have to. as the disease spreads, if it spreads. As most of you know, the level that we've had in our country is very low, and those people are getting better.
President Trump put Vice President Pence in charge of the coronavirus response. The number of new coronavirus infections inside China, the source of the outbreak, for the first time overtaken by fresh cases elsewhere. Italy and Iran have emerged as new epicenters of the rapidly spreading illness. Brazil confirmed its first case, the first for Latin America. New federal appeals court ruling allows the Trump administration to withhold federal money from seven states and New York City over cooperation on immigration enforcement. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free.